Buongiorno, my name is Lauren. I'm a writer, food lover, and creator of Cooking Vacations Italy, a culinary tour company. I married Reno, an Italian race car driver, and we live in sunny Italy where we welcome guests to our Italian kitchen and share our way of living on the Amalfi Coast. We live on a vertical cliff, 100 stairs down, overlooking Positano and the Tyrrhenian Sea. We're surrounded by olive and lemon trees, and grapevines grow everywhere. From our terrace, we can almost reach out and touch Capri. Follow me in the garden, where we grow Mediterranean fruits and vegetables in the rhythm of the seasons. We use our farm-to-table ingredients, including our own olive oil, in local cuisine. Join us as we travel, cook, and experience life in Italy.
I understand we're going to be talking about one of your favorite restaurants not too far from home. Lauren, you want to start?
Melius in Latin means, well, Melius comes from the Latin, and in Italian it means migliorare, which means making it better or getting it better. Italians are always very clever with some of their naming of restaurants. Like, we were driving home last night from Pompeii after a fabulous dinner at Melius, and there's a bar called the Sky Club. And I say, why do Italians change everything to American? Because people want Italian names, but...
So it's in Pompeii, and we're going to explore what this restaurant offers. And obviously, it's a favorite of yours, so it must be good. What is a bistro food emporium, by the way? What is that?
Francesco and his wife, she's in the kitchen, he's at the front of the room, came up with this concept of having the restaurant in the middle of a food emporium. It's not really a market. There's no shopping carts. It's you're dining in the middle of a wine bar, pasta shop, and deli. We don't use the word deli in Italy, but Jordan, when you walk in, it's beautiful. You're greeted by a beautiful oversized Madonna of the Pompeii. And yeah, it's like you're at home dining, but it's really in the middle of like a wine bar slash in the middle of a shop, really, that showcases the best artisan products from Campania, pasta from Gragnano, wines from Campania, and some from outside of Campania. But he really promotes the local artisans and their products, wine, pasta, chocolates, cheeses, and teas, and breads, and the frisella, which are the double toasted breads. It has to be baked in a wood-burning oven. So we were there last night, and we started with these little golden fried puffs called frittelle.
Frittelle,
and they're a poor man's food. They're just a little flour, a little bubbly water or beer, or you could put Prosecco in them, but the wine gives it a different taste. Called frittelle or boffi. Boffi means to be swollen because they literally are little puffs that swell up because they're flour, biocarbonato water, biocarbonated water, a pinch of salt, and you spike them with torn up basil or torn up seaweed or torn up sage leaves, or you can just put salt and pepper in them with some squash flowers. And they're really a great appetizer because they get the appetite going. So we started with that and a bottle of this beautiful wine called
Creteca.
This is a wine that's made on Ischia, very volcanic soil. As we know, Ischia, set between Capri and Naples, is a volcanic island. And they're wonderful for growing, very limited edition bottles of wine. This particular maker makes only 1,700 of these bottles. It's made with Aionico e Piedi Rosso, which Aionico is a red wine that was brought here by the Romans, the grape itself. And Piedi Rosso is another vine that looks like red feet, the way they grow. And it's a very dry late harvest wine. It's a protected geographical indication, which means it's an important wine. And it grows 230 meters above sea level. So it's mineral saturated. It's really
corposo.
It has a full body. Robust. It's a little bit strong because it's 13.5%. So you need to dine with it. You can't just really drink it on its own.
Volcanic area wines are really amazing because when we were in Sicily, we were trying some of the Mount Etna wines and they were incredible. I mean, they have a different texture, taste, and full bodiedness, I guess, right?
They do. You taste the sea, you taste the sea winds, you taste the minerals, you taste the sun because they're dry. Mm. So we had a great bottle of that with our little frittelle or boffi. And then, what's his name, comes to the table, the waiter.
Giovanni.
No menus, Jordan. And he just says, today.
Oh, they with me.
Well, sometimes they have daily specials on a chalkboard. Very limited menu, be it that it may. Most people start with a little appetizer from the other case, which showcases, you know, melanzana parmigiano, which is eggplant parmigiano, frigitelli, which are the small green peppers. They're very sweet. They're pan-fried with garlic and extra virgin olive oil. You know, it's like a candy store, but it's all salty things. They had a frittata with spinach. They had eggplant parmesan. They had octopus grilled on a green salad. Mm. They had octopus with mashed potatoes because that's the way it served, which was grilled. They have stuffed eggplant, stuffed peppers, broccoli with sausage and provolone cheese. And that were just the appetizers. And then when you come to the pastas, last week was 110 degrees. This week is probably 75. So everyone has their snorkels on because Italians love the sun and the heat and the summer. And already the autumn pasta dishes were on the menu last night. We're talking Reno, pasta Nerano, which is a local pasta made with the summer zucchini or the end of the summer zucchini with provolone cheese. It really takes a knack to make that. So you gently cream the cheese and it doesn't turn to, you know, a hard consistency. Pasta and patata, which is Reno's favorite, garnished with a crunchy pancetta and provolone cheese.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was really good. He didn't share it.
I heard you refer to seasonal pasta, and that would be pasta that utilizes some of the products or produce of the season, basically. Is that what we're talking about? Or is the pasta itself any different?
No, the pasta is the same. It's the seasonal ingredients and the sauce that change.
Gotcha. They're known for their pasta, as so many places in Italy are. What makes their production of their own in-house pasta so great, do you think?
Because Angela's in the kitchen, Francesco's wife. Francesco's the owner. His wife is the other owner. She's in the kitchen. You never see her. And on Thursdays and only Thursdays, she makes linguine with octopus, a mussel soup, and then a scampi with pasta. She makes sea snails. And then she makes the pasta con sciagliatella. It's a thick pasta. It's a poor man's pasta made with just flour and water. It's only made on the Amalfi Coast and a little bit of the inland. Served with clams. It could be clams in the summer. Mostly mussels and crushed tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Sounds amazing. And, you know, one of the things about your business, about cooking vacations and the tours and all that, is these are places that the average traveler would maybe not know about, but they're hidden gems, aren't they, Lauren?
They are. And, you know, everybody's serving up nice food in Italy, but then there are those people that, you know, they're not serving the prefix tourist menu. They're serving the old world menus. The pastas are not a lot on the menu at Melu's, but they're real Neapolitan pastas. Like now we're seeing the orecchietta con broccoli and rapi. Those are the little pastas in the shape of an ear with broccoli rapi and a side of charcoal grilled sausage. And over it is melted provolone.
Mm.
You know, we see the spaghetti shushu alla caprese. Shushu means fast. So it's a simple pasta with garlic, extra virgin olive oil, and crushed tomatoes. And it's made really fast. And you also see lasagna coming into play now that it's getting a little cooler. And it's not always made with noodles. Here we make it with zucchini too.
Let's talk a little bit about chicken, beef, fish, and so forth. Protein as part of the meal. Is that a big part of the presentation? Is that the entree? Or are we talking about smaller dishes even in that realm?
Well, in Italy, people order the antipasti, which is the first. Pasta comes second. Third is the secondo, which is, you know, the main plate. And it could be a grilled piece of steak, and they slice it. They serve it on a bed of rucola drizzled with balsamic vinegar. Last night, I had the local piece of codfish, or bacala, as they say. It's not salted. It's just a piece of white fish that has black skin. It was probably 2.5 inches high, seared on a grill pan, and it was served with escarole, raw escarole that was washed, chopped, and garnished with little pieces of alici. Those are the little baby bait fish that are preserved under olive oil, cut in little pieces, with crushed green olives and these little red pickled peppers. It's a Mediterranean diet. So even though that you're having 3 or 4 courses, they're very small. They're tasting sizes always. Tasting in the sense that it doesn't come out on a giant platter like we think of when you think of Olive Garden. It's very different. They're wholesome, abundant, hearty portions, but people eat slow in Italy. There's lots of conversation. By round 2, we made friends with the table on the side of us. By round 3, Reno recognized a childhood friend 3 tables down. So it's a very slow process. And the food is not processed, so it's healthy, it's easy yes. to digest, and then we move on to dessert.
And before we talk about dessert in more detail, you're right about the Mediterranean diet. It is overall the healthiest diet on planet Earth, I believe. And talk a little bit about the olive oil, which is so present. Olive oil is a big portion of the success of these restaurants, isn't it?
Yes. Everyone has their favorite extra virgin first cold pressed olive oil. What that means is extra virgin means it's the first liquid that comes out of the olives, and they have to be pressed less than 24 hours. Cold press means they're pressed in a cold process on cold stones. Italian standards are very high legally. You can get versions of different olive oils in Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, and even some of the best, you know, boutiques like William and Sonoma. You never want to buy olive oil with crushed anything in it, whether it be pickles or garlic or chili peppers or all the rest, because any of those will make it acidic. It's a high standard. The acidity level needs to be very low. It's tested, and it needs to be bottled less than 24 hours, really, to be called extra virgin, first cold press made on the domain. Here in Campania, we have the regions of Benevento, Avellino, Naples, all of these regions. Even Capri makes their own olive oil. It's all a little bit different, but one thing is in common. It's the salt, the volcanic soil, and the grassy taste. That is relevant in all of them.
Let's talk a little further with you about the wines, because you mentioned that beautiful bottle and you showed it to me. The region is known for its wine, as so many regions are, but what, again, makes it stand out, this region?
This region is lucky to have that real rich volcanic soil, the sea salt in the wind and the sea salt in the rain. That's a perfect recipe for really delicious mineral-based wines that are pure, because all of the producers here make small amounts, so it's a limited production. When they sell out, they sell out. They're not, for the most part, exported to the USA, which changes the game, and the FDA requires sulfites and long shelf life chemicals that will keep it on the shelf longer than need be. Some of our wines here, we can start with the whites, are Falanghina, Fiano, Greco di Tufo, Biancolello, which come from Ischia, Capri, Benevento, Naples, the hills of Vesuvio. Then we have the Ionico, which is the red. And the one that we drank last night is the Prateka.
Just curious if there are blends of reds and whites. We sometimes refer to them as rosés and so forth. Are there any of those?
They do make some rosés. The South is really known for the reds. And some of the whites have come into play because of the fish and the spring and summer vegetables. A note on the winemaking. Remember, in the days of Pompeii, which was a long time ago because Pompeii erupted in 79 AD, the Romans came to Pompeii. They were merchants there. They vacationed there. They had giant villas, beautiful lifestyles. They were rich noblemen. They came and they were winemakers. However, it were the Greeks that introduced to the Romans the art of bottling wine in a bottle. Predating that, the Romans were putting the wine in animal pelts. Mm. So the wine had to be cooked or infused with lots of spices to keep its shelf life.
Sourcing the produce and the food that's so natural and real is always a responsibility of any restaurateur. So the couple that we're talking about at this restaurant, Melios, they must do a lot of that, right, with the locals.
They do. He really supports the local artisans, the cheesemakers, the winemakers, the paisani, the contadini, which are the farmers and the local men that carry on the tradition to growing these vegetables, drying the chili peppers, braiding the garlic, putting the tomatoes on pentola, which are those grape-like things that you can hang in your kitchen and they'll last all winter long, and the tomatoes slowly ripen and shrivel up. He really supports the artisans and the winemakers, spills onto the plates there. They're very seasonal and local and Neapolitan.
You're not a big dessert person, neither am I, but you have a little taste of what Reno's having. So, Reno, what did you have recently at this wonderful restaurant for dessert?
Last night I had the name is pasticcio with the cream and sherry cream. With the cream.
And a special kind of cherry called Amarena.
Amarena, exactly. With the sherry cream Amarena. Oh my God.
I can see the smile on your face. It sounds amazing. Do they have an assortment of things that people would be able to choose from on their dessert list?
I know you can be Amalfi Coast. You are.
We go to Malibu.
Sure.
Last night on the menu for dessert, tiramisu, which is classic. It comes
Jordan, look.
Oh, you're showing me.
This is the pasticcio.
That looks amazing.
Especially in top is the sweet pulled.
This kind of dessert made with a cooked yellow cream and peppered with the aramena cherry in a buttery crust can either be open and laced like a lattice or it's covered. Last night it was covered. And it had lemon zest on it. So you break into it and it just bleeds. And these wonderful black cherries in a yellow cooked cream, not sweet. And it was dusted with confectionery.
And these are all made in-house too at this wonderful restaurant.
Yes. Also on the menu last night was torta caprese, which is a flourless chocolate cake, which the recipe originated on Capri, and on a caprese, which is a same type of flourless cake made with lemons.
You know, as we talk about this one particular spot, it sounds amazing, but it's one of dozens, if not hundreds. And for those listening who want to get involved and join you and go on one of these tours, tell the audience a little bit about how you can direct them to some of these amazing places that you know of that many people don't. Share with us how the process works.
Sure. We're here. We travel. We love food. We love wine. You know, we've grown up with, Reno's grown up with some of these people. I've met them and grown up too. And they've become our friends.
I know the daughter well. I know the father well, because the father before many years ago, he's never the same age as mine. The father was a famous
butcher
in Pompeii. The son, the brother, the wife, the Franco, is do the same job in Milano. He's there with a nice...
Franco's brother-in-law opened up a branch in Milano.
Yeah. It's the same name, Amelius, the same brand.
Excellent.
And lui ha avuto molto successo.
You know, you never get a bad meal in Italy, but there are some tourist places with a prefix menu. Mm-hmm. We always, I can't add two and two together. I was never good in that. But I know a good thing when I see it when it comes to food and wine and passionate people. We always find the best ones on the planet somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. And even if we're not in our own little neighborhood here, we're in Montepulciano or Bologna. We've made friends when we started our company many, many years ago, and we're loyal to them. And sometimes when you eat off the beaten track, when you don't know the people, it's not that it's not good. It's just not wow.
Melius is wow. I want to
Reno wants to show you last.
He takes pictures of food like everybody else. Show me and I'll give a wow to the audience.
Jordan. Oh,
this is the pasta with the provola, cheese with the pancetta in top. Look, oh my God, cremoso.
Trust me, audience, it'll make your mouth water.
This particular pasta called pasta and patata, pasta and potatoes, is a poor man's dish. It was a recipe that, you know, mama would make during the war when supplies were rationed and small. It's called pasta mal tagliata, pasta that's cut different ways, or pasta that's cut badly. This pasta was literally, when mama made the pasta, if there were two or four or six or eight, sometimes she wouldn't use the whole bag. So what was left would go in a second bag. And the second bag became a mix of a little bit of this, some broken spaghetti. Yeah. And with pasta and patata, that's what they make this dish with. All the leftover dry pasta that didn't get cooked the first time.
La pasta rimasta in ogni tipo di pasta.
So it's a little bit of every kind of pasta. Yeah.
It's enough to make my mouth water, I'll tell you that. You guys are having a blast, as you should. And people, when they come to Italy, would be silly not to check in with Lauren and Reno for all their great advice. Thank you guys very, very much. This was a great tour of a fine restaurant.
Thank you, Jordan. We look forward to hosting you here soon with Roberta.
I'm going to book my passage very, very soon.
Thank you for listening. And remember to subscribe and download future episodes. To find out more about us, visit cooking-vacations.com. Ciao, grazie.